Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anababe, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabe sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw 3 long, bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave, and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast. And spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over, and there are 2 small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
I had a lot of reoccurring nightmares that happened in my bedroom. And I would wake up in the exact same spot that had just happened. And it was just really, really creepy. Probably I was about 6, 7. My mom got a new boyfriend and we decided to move. Every time I move into a new place, it's like some sort of weird spiritual presence there. Sometimes it's not negative, sometimes it is. And that townhouse is where things really started to pick up. It was like my demeanor changed. Everyone, it was just a very negative experience. I was laying in my bed. I've never experienced it in my life. Now, as a messy kid, I always, when I was told to clean my room, I put everything under my bed and put my sheets down so you couldn't see it. And I got this really, really creepy feeling. Like my chest started swelling up and I couldn't really breathe. And then I heard something like kind of like rustling. I had a bunch of socks that were bound up, I don't know, like 2 or 3 bound up into a ball. And I heard something and it shot out from underneath my bed and hit the wall. And I was like, all right, that was kind of fast. I had this really, really gross feeling about it. It was very negative. I really don't know. It was like something was trying to get my attention. I've always heard about ghosts and stuff like that, but I've never actually seen anything move in my life.
Thank you. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I am your host, Tony Merkel. Thank you for being here. If you've had an encounter or story you'd like to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. That's theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the connection section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me. Just get a hold of me. That trailer you just listened to is a trailer that was produced by our audio engineer, Dalton, and he puts those together on a weekly basis for us now. And if you're following us on social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube especially, you'll be able to hear the up-and-coming show trailer if you're following us. So, hey, maybe that's some incentive for you guys to, you know, I don't know, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all the other places. Anyways, let's bribe our audience today with some five-star shout-outs. If you go to iTunes and leave a five-star rating and review, you get a shout-out on the following week's show. So the bribes today are Fez024, Germ123, Pinball Bobby, Kathy It Is, NickCuz21, Billy Loves Danielle 8 Years Plus. Bro, you used my show to declare your love for your girl. That is cool, my man. I hope she loves you back tenfold. B3XZ, Carrie Patetic, Starry REXO, Ellie Ellie, CC1059, Lil B93, Mole Man 2018, and Rock Cat. Thanks so much for going to iTunes and leaving the five-star rating and review. It means a lot to me. It helps the show out a lot on iTunes. So if the bribes work, keep them coming. Moving on to the Patreon shout-outs. Anybody who goes to patreon.com/theconfessionals and signs up to become a patron gets a shout-out on the following week's show. We got a long list today. Hawk Girl, Sachi, Jerry L, Jeremy R, Justin N, Chance G, Colby H, Edward O, Juan K, Luke C, Catherine P, Edward C, Emma C, Philip R, and rounding it off is Brazel. Thank you so much for going to Patreon and becoming patrons. I really do hope you enjoy your experience as patrons. And now let's get on to this week's show. So this week we have three interviews coming up for you. The first one is going to be with a guy who explores old buildings, and what he saw and caught on camera is quite shocking. So he sees a full body apparition that looks very real. He caught it on film. It's on his YouTube channel, so go ahead and check it out. He'll tell you where to check it out at, and it's in the description of this show on the website. So let's get to exploring with Danny right now. Let's go. Okay, so we have Danny on the line, and Danny, are you in the UK?
I am in the UK, Manchester, England.
Okay, great. So I saw a video of yours. You have a YouTube channel called Exploring with Danny, and you go into like these old buildings that are run down and everything, and you check them out. And last night you went into a place, and it was you actually caught something pretty creepy on video. With your YouTube channel and stuff, I'm assuming you go out there and you're exploring because you enjoy the old rundown buildings and the history of it and things like that. But are you out there looking for ghosts as well?
We are actually out there to do an EVP session and stuff like that, and the Ghost Spirit Box, which half of my fans do like. So we have got quite a few followers out there at the minute. I've got a good fan base. And we do go out to try and catch the best of what we can, really. But last night was just a big shock to me, mate. Honestly, it really, really was. I was not expecting that to happen at all. It come from out of the blue. I was just exploring the place. I was only doing a little video because I usually upload them to my YouTube channel so I can get some views and stuff in. But last night, I just turned my head, and when I seen that, I nearly had an heart attack on the spot. My legs just turned to jelly.
Yeah, I mean, I would have had a heart attack myself. I mean, it was absolutely insane. So walk the people through what you were doing last night, where you were, and what you saw.
Yeah. Well, it was about 9:30 at night, and I said to my missus, because she was at home with the baby, I said, I'm going to go out and get a little video for tonight to do a little explore, because my videos, you have to put like 3 on a week, you see, to try and keep me exploring stuff for me. So I thought I'll go out and do a video to put it on. I got to the destination. I always do an intro, so I've done my intro in the car. Then I walked round to the place where we're, which is an abandoned chapel. It was in the middle of nowhere, old gravestones and stuff like that. So it was pretty spooky anyway, walking through there on my own. And then I just started the filming at the door, and I went in. I was just doing my stuff, what I usually do, telling the people what the place is like inside and stuff. And I remember just like walking over some stuff, and I was struggling because there was some like stuff in the way on the floor. And then I could see like a doorway, and I shined my torch on the doorway, and then something caught my attention, a noise. So I stopped and I thought, what's that? And as I looked to my right, I captured like something black but with a white, and it was a human face. I absolutely crapped myself. And I just ran, but my legs gave way on me for some weird reason. They just turned to jelly. I think it was because I was in shock.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw what I saw, it looked like somebody wearing a completely black cloak and some kind of black head covering, and you see the white face, and they're just peering around the corner of this doorway. And you're in an old chapel, and I don't know if it's a Catholic building or what, but I mean, it almost looked like a nun, didn't it?
It did look like a nun to me, and I think that's what made me more scared the most, because I've always been scared of nuns anyway. Even as a kid, I was scared of nuns. And when I seen that, words could not explain how I felt, mate, honestly. It just felt like everything had been drained from out my body. I felt sick. I felt dizzy. My legs just went on me. I actually fell to the floor and hurt my shoulder on my right-hand side. It was just really creepy, and there was no way I was going back there on my own to check it out. No bloody way.
No, I don't blame you whatsoever. I would be going back with, you know, an artillery of people. But, you know, when you saw that nun or whatever it was, do you get the feeling now? I mean, you've had some time to think about it and stuff like that. Like I mentioned, I mean, this looked very, very real and physical. It did not look transparent. It looked like a real person peering around the corner. Do you think that was actually somebody standing there, or do you think that was an apparition?
Well, when I thought today, I thought, could it be someone? I have put it on my Facebook page. Could it have been someone doing a ritual? You know, like some mad psychopath or something like that. And I've had people say, like, have you been followed? But how could someone possibly know that I was going out on an explore that night? It's just impossible.
Right, because you said it was such a random thing. I mean, you just told your wife that, you know, you're going to go out and check some things out, make a video. Yeah, I don't know what to make of it, honestly. Like, because I want to say it was a real person because it looks so real. But if it's a real person in that building dressed like that, then it probably falls in the category of what you were just saying about it being a ritual. And if it was a ritual, that's a scary spot to be in, you know what I mean?
Well, I've heard all these kinds of stories about these old abandoned places with these rituals and stuff. I mean, I know I've seen the one thing, but what if there was others in there somewhere? And I was just scared of being grabbed, you see. I was really petrified, so I thought, I'm getting the hell out of here. I mean, I'm only a cameraman. I'm only there to show people these old architects and stuff. Like, I wasn't there to show people, like, stuff being stood there, you know what I mean? It was just something just caught me here, and as I looked and seen it, I thought, oh my God, I could not believe. But even better, I had it on video.
Yeah, and that's a rarity. I mean, a lot of times people say they saw things like that, but they don't catch it on video, you know. And so even though it scared you, you're kind of fortunate that you were there to film and you actually got it on video, because I'll tell you, man, like, I think that video is intense. And so for the audience listening, I'm going to play you just a clip of the audio from this video so you can hear Danny's reaction as to when he saw this person, apparition, peering around the corner.
Just got to watch where I'm walking. What's that noise? Oh, my God. Oh, f***ing hell. Get the fuck out of here, man. Shit. Slipping everywhere.
So that was some of the audio that Danny had, you know, on his video with he saw. I'm just going to call it the haunting nun. I don't know. I don't know what else to call it. But it was definitely a scary experience for you. I mean, I remember when I watched it, I jumped. When I first saw it, I was like, whoa. And I jumped real hard. Because it was just definitely a creepy experience. Danny, your YouTube channel, what's it called? Exploring with Danny, right?
Exploring with Danny, yeah.
So how long have you been doing that?
I've only been doing it for 3 months.
Only 3 months?
Yeah, I've also got an Instagram page, Exploring with Danny, which I do take pictures of abandoned buildings and stuff like that, and old hospitals and stuff.
I got you. Well, I'll tell you what, for only doing it for 3 months, you got one of the best videos I've ever seen. I mean, it's definitely a scare factor. Danny, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing some of your experiences here. Before we get out of here, though, have you ever had any other weird experiences in any of these buildings?
Yeah, I do run the paranormal side of things and all, and I've got a page called The Exorcisms, and there's me, my brother, and my girlfriend, and we all go on these places together. We have heard bangs and seen some sort of things and got pictures, but I've never seen anything as clear as what I seen last night. That was just out of this world, breathtaking.
Yeah, absolutely. And for anybody who is curious and wants to see this video, check out the description on this episode and the video will be posted there. And Danny, I'll tell you what, man, I really appreciate you coming on and just talking about that experience, because I literally just saw it within an hour and I had to get you on to talk about it. So I appreciate you hopping on real quick with me.
Yeah, thank you. It's nice to really speak to you anyway and stuff. I just hope everyone checks it all out now.
Well, I'd like to thank Danny one more time for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it. And if you're interested, go check out his YouTube channel, Exploring with Danny. Next up, we have Alex on the show. And Alex is one of the people who actually filmed that pyramid-shaped UFO that was hovering over the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. We've tracked him down, and he's coming on with us right now to share what he filmed that night on December 2018. Alex, how are you?
I'm fine. Hi.
So you actually go by a YouTube channel name called Alex Dude. Is that something that you created before the incident we're about to talk about?
No, I created it right after I saw that thing, because, you know, this is Pentagon. I'm living in America only for 2 years, and I was afraid that I was doing something illegal. So I recorded that thing and made the channel.
Yeah, I totally understand what your hesitations were. Trust me, I deal with some sketchy stuff myself, and I'm just like, I don't know if I want to talk about this or post this. I don't know if it's going to get me in trouble or what. So what we're talking to you about is, you were one of the people who saw and filmed the pyramid-shaped UFO hovering over the Pentagon back in December 2018. And actually, your video was the very first one I saw. And, you know, when it comes to these kind of things online, especially as somebody like me who deals with this kind of stuff on a regular basis, you got to be careful about posting things and saying, wow, this is amazing. Because if it's fake, a lot of people jump on you and they say, oh, this is a fake, you know, you're stupid, that this, that, and the other. So my first thing I did was I looked around online to see if I could find any other similar videos. And sure enough, I found one of a guy driving down a highway and with him and his buddies. I'm sure you've seen it by now. And they filmed the same event. And then I found another one just the other day. And this one was posted. I'm not sure if it was, maybe it was yours, but I because just judging by your accent, I'm assuming you're Russian, right?
No, Czechoslovakia, Prague.
Okay. So the one that I saw on YouTube was in Russian, and it was the same exact event. And I found it very fascinating. So there's a lot of people who have seen what you saw and about to talk about. And, you know, they're filming it from different vantage points. So if you wouldn't mind, would you just share with us where you were when this happened and what did you see?
Okay, this was December 18th, dark time. And well, I'm a photographer, amateur, not professional. And I was doing my little photo project at the Arlington Cemetery. I hope you know where it is. It's a famous place. And I was there illegally, because it's closes, it's at 5 o'clock. So I stayed there. And that's another reason why I could not say your real name. And so it's Alex Dude. So I would be evidencing against myself that I was there at 10 o'clock, which is illegal.
Sure.
Well, I've been there with my wife because, you know, it's kind of spooky to stay in the cemetery at 10 o'clock So I was there making my project, and then I saw something from afar. It was kind of black thing over the Pentagon, like a stain. I didn't understand what was the form of this thing. I asked, while I was doing my things, I asked my wife to take a shot on her iPhone, but she could not. She said that her phone could not catch the picture. It's just black skies and nothing there. So I've tried my camera, Nikon, and with maxed out ISO, maybe someone knows what is this. It showed up kind of pyramid-shaped object. So I shot it, but my wife was extremely afraid that we are doing something illegal. They are testing something, and we are seeing something we should not see. So we ran away.
So you're with your wife in the Arlington Cemetery. You see this thing in the sky. Your wife is petrified. Were you scared, or were you more curious?
Scared.
Yeah.
Absolutely scared, because it was a huge thing, and I didn't know what is this. I know that there are stealth bombers, like a triangle also. And I thought maybe this is kind of new triangle stealth bomber, and I should not see it. It was dark times. So yes, I was afraid, not curious at all.
How big would you say this thing was? I mean, it looks very big in the film.
I counted the windows on the Pentagon. I mean, how much windows? It was like 8 windows, and I think it's kind of 100 meters, one side, you know.
So this is substantially large.
Yes, very large, but it was barely visible, even, and it was visible better with my camera than with my eyes. With my camera, it looks like it's always visible. With my eyes, it was blinking. Not fast, but going in and out of visibility.
I got you. So before you saw this, what was your thoughts and opinions on UFOs and things like that? Did you pay any mind to it?
Well, in general, I don't believe in UFOs, and I have my reasons, if you want to hear them.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I would love to hear your reasons.
Well, okay. Mankind exists for 50,000 years only, while the universe exists for millions and millions and millions of hundreds of billions. And it's very egoistic to think that two life forms would exist simultaneously in this kind of time. Some kind of UFO could exist million years before, and we were not there yet. We live for too short. It's impossible that another life form exists at the same time. That's what I think about it. But yes, I think it's possible, another life form.
So I'm assuming, by what you just said, what you saw then, you're probably assuming it's government or some kind?
Yes, I'm sure about that. I think in a couple of years, they will show it on some kind of warfare, somewhere in Syria or something like that. They will show it.
I got you. Are you aware that this, at least a very similar looking pyramid, appeared in Russia, around in Moscow?
No, another interviewer did say that, but I didn't check it yet.
I'll send you a video of what I've seen and stuff. It's pretty similar. In fact, I'd say it's almost identical to what you filmed. And this was a few years ago, I think, back in Russia, in Moscow, which is, you know, the headquarters of Russia. And same thing with the United States here. I mean, D.C. is the headquarters. And so the fact that the very similar experience happened in two different state or country capitals, I find very interesting, very fascinating.
Yes, I'm curious how it could be happening, because Russia and the US are enemies. They cannot test the same weapon, if it is a weapon. It's right. Impossible.
Unless there's something nefarious going on that we just don't know about that they're not letting us know.
Well, yes, that's for sure. I would love to know what is going on.
Now, let me ask you one more question here. The next day, I believe it was the next day, the Defense Secretary General Mad Dog Mattis, he resigns from his position. Did you hear about that? And did you ever think maybe it had something to do with this event that you filmed?
Oh, Christ. Yes, I know. This is a prime minister, I think. But I think it's coincidence, but you're saying it's not. I don't know. Maybe it's just a coincidence.
Well, I mean, because he's in charge of, you know, our defense. He was. And obviously the Pentagon is the hub for that. And for this to happen right over the Pentagon, I just found it very coincidental that the timeline lined up the way it did.
Yes, I agree. It is very interesting coincidence. It may be not a coincidence.
Maybe not. Who knows? But I'll tell you what, Alex, I do appreciate you coming on here and sharing what you saw and letting people hear from you, because I've talked about your video and the other videos on the show a couple of times now. And it's really cool to have you on just to share what you saw firsthand. I really do appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you for contacting me.
Absolutely. Take care, sir. All right, well, next up on the program, we have Jeremy. And Jeremy is our third and last interview of today. And Jeremy is going to come on and share these paranormal experiences that he's had throughout his life, where it seems like something is actually following him. Doesn't matter where he lives, it's a consistent thing that is there with him. And he comes on to tell the stories of what he's experienced throughout his life right now. All right, today we have Jeremy coming on the show. Jeremy, how you doing, man?
Good, yourself?
I'm doing good, doing good. So we have paranormal experiences that you've had throughout your life. And, you know, there are it gets pretty deep at times. And I'm going to let you share as much as you'd like with that aspect of things. But what I'd like for you to do is just start from the beginning. When you were about 4 years old, this kind of stuff started happening for you. So just let us know how that all started and take it away for us.
That was good, man. When I was four, my parents split up, and I don't remember any of that stuff. I remember the aftermath, and me and my brother shared a bedroom, and that's when a lot of negative stuff started happening for me. A lot of see like shadows moving around. It's like really, really like eerie feelings that you're not alone. And like, I couldn't be by myself in there. It was just bizarre. It was like the grossest feeling living in that apartment. Trying to think back that far. I had a lot of reoccurring nightmares in my bedroom that I would wake up. Like, I would have nightmares that happened in my bedroom, and I would wake up in the exact same spot that had just happened. And it was just really, really creepy. I can't remember too many things of like visually of like haunting type of things that would happen, just being like enormously scared all the time. And then, so chronologically speaking, after that, probably I was about 6, 7, my mom got a new boyfriend and we decided to move into a townhouse together because we were living in an apartment then. And that townhouse is where things really started to pick up. So he was a bit younger than my mom. He's a pretty nice guy. We really liked him at the start, like super, super nice. We did all kinds of things together. And as soon as we moved into our townhouse, it was like a night and day. Like his demeanor changed, my demeanor changed, everyone's. It was just a very negative experience. Weird things started happening probably about a few months moving in. I was laying in my bed and I hated that room. It was like sick, man. You walk in and just, you're not alone. It felt like there was like 100 people staring at you all the time. I've never experienced it in my life. My brother's room wasn't like that. It was just mine. It was really, really creepy. I didn't like it. I kept my cat in there a lot of the time with me. And he would always like stare at things, and it was really, I didn't like it. So the first thing that happened in that house was I was laying in my bed. When I was a messy kid, I always, when I was told to clean my room, I put everything under my bed and put my sheets down so you couldn't see it.
Nice.
So I was always, yeah, there's always lots of stuff underneath there. I was laying in my bed and I got this really, really creepy feeling. Like my chest started swelling up and I couldn't really breathe. And then I heard something like kind of like rustling under my bed. And I'm like, all right, it's probably my cat or whatever. Cause he like, not like there's any room for him under there. And I had a bunch of socks that were bound up, and I don't know, like two or three bound up into a ball. And I heard something and it shot out from underneath my bed and hit the wall. And I was like, all right, like, that was kind of fast. Like probably my cat. But like real, I knew it wasn't my cat. I had this really, really gross feeling about it. It's just very negative. As I got up, I didn't look under my bed. I went into my brother's room, the only other place my cat liked to go, and my cat was sleeping on his pillow with him. So that was the first kind of thing that just blew my, it rocked my world. Like everything changed after that. It was just so, I couldn't believe it. Like I've always heard about ghosts and stuff like that, but I've never actually seen anything move in my life. So I kind of wrote it off. I didn't really tell anyone about it. And if I did, it probably wouldn't leave me anywhere. So the next thing that happened in that house after that was I had a bunch of little G.I. Joe figures, like the kind that where you could like bend and put guns in their hands and stuff. And I had them, I don't know, a bed of space in the middle. I had them on the other side of the room, probably about like 12 feet away from me. And they were on top of my dresser. And I wasn't even going to sleep. I was just laying in my bed. It was like the middle of the day, or it might have been like a little bit darker, but I was laying in there because I had nothing else to do. And yeah, it was a little dusky. And one of them, it's so weird saying it aloud, flew and hit me and landed on my chest. And I was just like shell shocked. I couldn't even really move right away. Once again, went into my brother's room because that's where I went when I was scared. And Kat was sleeping beside him on the ground. So just trying to make excuses up for this kind of stuff happening. But yeah, it was like something was trying to get my attention. I don't know. That was probably to date one of the scariest things that's ever happened, was that G.I. Joe flying at me.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that at some point it decided it was going to reveal itself to you? I mean, do you think that's what was happening when it started showing itself through its actions?
Yeah, I really don't know. It showed itself to me one day, probably a few months later. I had a mirror. So when I'm exiting my room, on the wall right there was a small mirror I had. And I had this weird feeling. I'm like, I'm walking, I'm like, I don't want to look in this mirror. Like, once again, it just felt like there was like a million people like watching me. I was definitely not alone. I walked by the mirror and there was a face in the mirror, and I think I started crying. I was just so upset and freaked out. And it was like later at night, and I went into my brother's room and just went beside his bed and laid on the floor until morning time. So I didn't really like being in there, and that really freaked me out. It was the first time I've ever seen a face of anything. It was kind of reddish. It was really, really eerie. Like, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, the only time you saw a face in the mirror that wasn't yours, right? So,
exactly, yeah.
Yeah,
you said, didn't like it. It was.
I'm sure. I mean, I wouldn't like it either. I mean, even to this day, if it happened to me, I wouldn't like it, you know? So I talked about before on my show where, you know, I once saw what I best can describe is like these two eyes looking back at me through a window at night. And after that, it messed me up. I couldn't look out windows at night.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, even to this day, when it gets dark out, I close my blinds on my windows. I don't even think about it. I just feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. That happened when I was like probably 8 or 9. When I drive down the highway, man, I work a lot on the highway. I travel a lot on the highway every day, and I tilt my mirror up. Like my rear view mirror doesn't even work. It's always tilted up. I rarely look in mirrors. Yeah, it's bizarre. I can't do it.
You said the face was red.
Like a red tinge to it, that's what I remember.
Yeah. So I mean, do you remember, like, was it abnormally large? Was there like boils on the face that was making it red? Do you have any other descriptions?
I remember like the eyes. It was just really it just scared me, like, right to my core. It was, human-y kind of eyes. It was, like, the outline of a face, and it had, like, almost like a, like, kind of like a, I would say, like, a smirk. It was very quick. I looked away very quickly, but I was just, like, almost stunned. I looked at it longer than I wanted to. I was just kind of shocked that it was there. It was, like, the red outline to it. It wasn't, like, a whole red face. It was, like, almost like a blurred red outline of a face and then the eyes. And you could see, like, a nose and, like, a little bit of a facial feature. And the facial features were red. The eyes were, I don't know how to explain it, like, a little bit bigger than, like, human eyes. But they had, like, the retinas and everything like that. It's really, really creepy. Like, something you'd see in, like, a movie. Like, yeah. Didn't like it.
No, I wouldn't like it either, man. I understand that totally. That's very creepy. But I know that's not the last thing that's happened to you, right?
No. I mean, this happens. This kind of stuff's actually been ramping up in my life recently, but we'll get to that at the end. So this room, it's almost like when I moved into this house, it was almost like a Shining kind of experience. And weirdly enough, The Shining was the only, like, this, my mom's boyfriend was very into, like, cult movies, like, horror movies and stuff. I watched a lot of those when I was younger, probably shouldn't have. The one movie he always wanted me to watch, I just couldn't bring myself to watching it, was The Shining, because it reminded me too much of, like, my own life. Because he got really, when we moved into the house, he got really negative, like, almost like he didn't even remember doing it a lot of the time. Like, he'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry, man. Like, I don't understand, like, how that just happened. And I was like, me neither, man. Like, I don't get it. So anyway, I'll go into more detail. He started getting negative in the fact that, like, he got abusive. He'd get huge mood swings out of nowhere. Like, breaking cupboard doors off. Like, just crazy stuff for no reason. Like, just, it's almost like you'd see somebody who's, like, taking steroids and just freaking out for no reason at all. And it became, he started noticing ghosts too, actually. He didn't believe in ghosts. I didn't tell you this in my thing. Maybe I did. Remember, he was walking up the stairs one day after one of those things has happened to us, an abusive situation. And he felt a ghost actually go through his body. And he was, like, scared to his core. I've never seen him like that. It was weird. It really freaked me out because I'm like, all right, man, like, it's not just me. I'm like, you don't believe in ghosts and you just felt something go through your body. So it was very interesting towards me anyway. And so I noticed his mood change a lot when there was, like, when I would get scared. It was kind of like a weird coincidence. And this could be all, it could just, like, he was a dick, right? I don't know. Like, I'm just kind of correlating. I started listening to your show a lot. And I'm like, all right, it just makes sense. You know, like, we move into this place. I started getting haunted, like, visibly. He starts changing his demeanor. And then my demeanor changed in the way of it's hard to explain. I would have so much of this odd energy in me. And it only happened in my room, man. It was weird. It never happened anywhere else. Only in my bedroom. It was like there was 1,000 pounds of, like, weight on me. And there was, like, people watching me. It was the weirdest thing. And I took into self-harm at that point, and I started to hurt myself pretty bad because I couldn't deal with it. It was too much for me to handle. I would just, like, strangle myself unconscious because I actually just couldn't deal with what was happening. I didn't understand it. And at points, it happened a lot, actually, unfortunately. I would put a belt around my neck, and I would just try to end my life in my closet. And this happened probably, it's been on for about 2 years. Happened for a long time, man. And I never died. Like, legitimately would put a belt around my neck, hang myself in my closet, and I would wake up about 3 or 4 minutes later. And I'd be alive. It was the oddest thing. Never expected to keep waking up. I attribute it to divine intervention. I've had a lot of near-death experiences in my life, and I've always come back. It's actually really cool. And these experiences are what got me into believing in spirituality and God. It's actually had a decent outcome. But for those couple of years in that bedroom, a lot of weird things happened. I don't know if it's like a possession kind of thing. It definitely wasn't really me doing that stuff to myself, because to be honest with you, I don't want to die and never really did. It's just when I would go in my room, I had like this unreal feeling come over me. And I don't even remember doing it half the time. Like, I would do it and I'm just like, what? Like, I don't understand. Just so confused all the time. And so, like, my whole demeanor changed living there. His demeanor changed. Ghost-wise, after a couple of years, we ended up moving again. So after all of the times of me self-harming and stuff like that, when we moved into our new house, we purchased an actual house. He changed. His violent tendencies stopped immediately. I stopped my own self-harm immediately. As soon as I had like my own new room and everything was fine. It was bizarre, man. It was like it never happened. Like I never had another inclination to do that in that house. I never had any kind of haunting in that house happen. So I was probably about 14 now. They split up eventually. And then nothing happened in that house. There's nothing really much to say about that place. I was about 17 now. We were there a couple of years. Everything was pretty normal. They just kind of didn't like each other anymore. So they split up. My mom bought a new house. I was 16. I moved in with her, so my brother. And that's when it started again. This bedroom I had, it was just the creepiest bedroom. I didn't like it. I had the attic hatch in my closet. I wasn't a fan of that. I didn't like attics. Weird things started happening in this room. Now that we're on the same topic, I'll jump into this first. I was kind of a late bloomer with the ladies. I was about 16 when I had my first serious girlfriend, maybe 17. And she ended up breaking up with me. And my first go-to with that kind of stress was, unfortunately, self-harm. I did the same thing again. I went to my closet, and it's kind of just like old hat at that point. That's how I dealt with immense pressure and stress. And it wasn't like the other times. It was higher. There was nothing for my, it might've been before my body was leaning on something, and that's why I didn't actually pass away. I don't know, but this time there was nothing. It was like a 6 foot tall closet. It wasn't short. And, I was out. I remember putting on an INXS Mystify song, and it wasn't on when I woke up. I was gone for a while. And, when I did it, my mother was downstairs, which I didn't know. I thought I was alone. My door was locked. So I did that. I put my belt around my neck and that was it. And about 3 or 4 minutes later, my mom, which we talked about later, got up out of nowhere. She was watching some sort of crime drama. Came upstairs and started pounding on my door like the police would, like just pounding on it. And it woke me up. And I was just like, what the? Like, I was like, my God, and this is, like, I'm not dead. And I ended up I was able to get both my hands up on the bar and I pulled it out of the wall. My mom was screaming, like, what are you doing in there? And like, I was like, oh, I'm good. Just please leave me alone. And I couldn't feel my body for about like 4 or 5 hours. I lost all feeling in the lower part of my body. It was actually kind of freaky. It came back eventually, which was nice. But me and my mom, I know you talk about like angels and stuff on the show sometimes. So I thought this would be an interesting little aspect of that. This got me believing in angels, man. Like, my mom would never come and knock my door. She never did, I don't think, ever in my life. Like, she was very, always left me to myself. And the fact that I was dying upstairs, something made her get out of her chair, come up, and please pound on my door until I woke back up, and then just left me alone again. I talked to her about it a couple of times, actually the past couple of years, and I asked her about it. And she's like, yeah, she's like, I actually really remember that. She's like, it was really weird. She's like, I don't even remember why I got up there. And she's like, I just walked up, and she's like, I had this weirdest feeling. Like, I had to run up and start pounding on your door. And I was like, ah, it's just so bizarre, you know? Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. That single-handedly later in life got me believing in God and angels and all that kind of stuff.
Jeez, man.
So, yeah, it was pretty intense, man. It was pretty intense. That bedroom, so I was about 17 now. Bedroom is really haunted. I didn't like it in there. it wasn't as intense as the other room where I would like self-harm. That was just kind of a little bit mistake that happened. So I spent a lot of time in there. I got into some trouble with the law enforcement, so I was stuck in my house for a while. And I was in that room for a long time, man. And a lot of weird things happened in it. I'd see stuff moving around. And actually, you know what? This is the one thing I want to talk to you about. I totally just remembered about it. Now that I think intuition, we all have intuition that brings us into understanding certain things. And lately, I've been kind of understanding that whatever was in that first room, that I would go into that closet and do that stuff to myself. I don't think it was me doing it personally. The same thing goes for when my girlfriend left me when I was 17 and I actually almost did die that time. I don't think that was me either. I don't even remember actually like consciously doing it. I think when I get to a certain level where I'm really upset and I let certain things in and it always happens to be in that closet, there's something weird about that closet in my new house. I think something, I don't know if something followed me. I really don't know, but my cat was pretty receptive to ghosts. He would always come near me when I felt weird. I didn't have to call him over. He's a really, really cool cat, man. He actually got me through a lot of weird times. That closet where it happened the last time, my cat is super eerie. My bed, the end of my bed faced that closet. My cat would sit at the end of my bed looking up at that closet every night. And then sometimes he would go into the closet and stare up at the attic hatch and like look sideways. Like he was looking at something. His head is bobbing all over the place. And he was like, I don't know, man. It was just super weird. I think when we're at really low points in our life, things can come in and kind of take over. I know of other people, even in the town I live in, that's happened to when they were really, really low points in their life. They've had hauntings in their house, like mysterious figures, like black figures floating over them, stuff like that. So yeah, I kind of attribute to that. Possession has been coming into my head a lot lately. I really do, honestly, it's like my gut does tell me that's what was happening. So, and I think at the same time, when the last time it happened, it was divine intervention, like something, team of angels, I don't know, man, went down there and got my mom to come wake me up. It was pretty...
Wow.
It was life-changing. I started believing in things after that, and never again did I ever try to hurt myself like that. Once I started believing in God, and I didn't really believe in God at that time, but I would pray, because I've watched documentaries where, like, non-believers would pray, and it would stop that entity in the room. And I was like, all right, man, like, gotta be something to this. So I started doing that, and it started subsiding. One night, I kind of stopped doing it. I came into my bedroom, and I opened up my door, turned on my light, and there was, right over my bed, there was this, like, black fog mist. It was sitting there for a second, and then it hit the ceiling, and then slid to the corner, and then right at me, and boom, right out the window. And, like, I was just paralyzed. That's honestly one of the scariest things I think I've seen. I sat there for a minute. I couldn't even move or breathe. I walked outside and I sat outside for like 2 or 3 hours until somebody came home. So I wouldn't go back inside. Like visibly, like we can always see like, oh, I think there's a ghost around, but that was like a visible, like the classic, I've heard in your show a few times now, like the black mass, like very visible. I've never seen anything like it since then. Like black mass wise, it's very distinct, very scary, very negative. So that was that. That's about 17, 18 now. Not too much happened in that room. I kind of have it written down here. Take a quick peek so I can stay in chronological order for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, lots of shadow figures in that room. Classic shadow figures, always seeing something in the corner of my eye. Sometimes it'd be things moved out of position. If I would leave a room, I'd be like, hey, I'm leaving this here. And it was just creepy, man. I didn't like that room again. And that's kind of like the story of my life. Every time I move into a new place, it's like some sort of weird spiritual presence there. Sometimes it's not negative, sometimes it is. I've moved a lot in my life. I moved out when I was 17, so I've had lots of different places. I've been all over Canada. See here, next one. Yeah, I rented a loft downtown. That's probably, and nothing happened. When I was 17, I went down from Northern Ontario to Toronto for about 5 years, and nothing really happened down there. It wasn't until I moved back to town and I met my fiance here. We got a loft, really nice place. And there was this one spot in the loft, and she is very, 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 very cool woman, very spiritually in touch. So she felt the same things that I did when we were in the loft. Right outside our doorway, there was a, I don't know if it's like a cold spot. You felt like your hair on your back would go up when you walked by it. And it was just like that one spot. Everywhere else is super, super good. No issues with it. It was a very old building, probably about 80 years old. It's like a historic part of downtown. They kind of just redid it, all the lofts and stuff. So yeah, there's a one spot. It was almost like the classic cold zone you'd walk through and feel. So we ended up getting a roommate for a very short period of time. We were just helping out a friend. I remember she would walk by it and she'd be like, ugh. She'd be like, why? I'm like, what do you feel there? And she's like, yeah. She's like, there's like, it's like really creepy right here in front of your door. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm glad that you noticed it as well. So it's not just me and her. So one day after she moved out, I was cooking dinner in my kitchen and I had this odd feeling that I didn't want to look over there. And so I kept cooking. And I looked over and there was like a teenage boy standing there looking at me. Like it wasn't negative. Like it didn't scare me in the like the demonic sense. But yeah, it was like a full apparition, like full figure wearing like, I don't know, like can't really date the clothes. Nothing modern anyway, or nothing like Victorian, like average clothes. Probably about 16, 17 year old boy just standing there. Like almost blue looking, but it was like a full apparition, like something you'd see in a movie. It was bizarre. I was frozen solid. I turned off my stove and I walked backwards. I don't think I had shoes on. I walked backwards out of the house. I was right by the door and I locked the door, went and hung outside my girlfriend at times work and for about 2 hours, 2-3 hours until she was off and then went back inside. Yeah. And that was, yeah, that was the most visible ghost I've ever seen. It was very scary. But it didn't scare me in the sense that, like, I was worried about it hurting me or something like that, or, like, trying some, like, weird demonic thing. It was just sitting there staring at me. It was weird. It was cool now that I think about it. I'm a lot older now. and I'm not there anymore. But, yeah, man, it was a very odd experience. Like I said, all points there, hands, head, the full torso, like feet, everything. There's like a person standing there. It's nuts. I've never yet experienced anything real like it. I'm 32 now. To this day, I see stuff every day. It's not really demonic in the way it used to be when I was younger. I think when I was younger, I was really sad a lot. And I think I let a lot of things in. I think that happens a lot with lots of people. You let lots of dark presences in when you don't have full control of yourself and you're in a really like bad place. Yeah, so that was the loft. Nothing really. It's only, yeah, we went to Alberta for about a year, came back to Ontario and rented a basement apartment once again in an older home. There was a, once outside, weirdly enough, outside the door of a bedroom again, there was another presence and you'd walk out, same thing, like full body chills, hair up, really creepy. It wasn't super friendly, but it wasn't super demonic. It scared me for sure. I didn't like it. I didn't want it in my house. We did smudging, like learn more things in life later on. So we started like Googling stuff and talking to other people. I tried to do the smudging thing. It didn't work. My fiance knew a medium and she, without telling her actually even the information, she's like, yeah, we think we have like a ghost in our house. And she's like, do you think that you could tell us anything about it? And me and her both have already came to the conclusion it was a young girl. That's what we felt. The medium said the exact same thing. She's like, you have a young girl in your house. She's like, she's not bad. Like, she's kind of stuck there. And you're going to have to do something to help her out to get her out of there. And honestly, it was too much for me at the time. I didn't want anything to do with that kind of stuff. So my fiance, I went out. I had an errand to run or something, and she did it. I don't remember exactly what she did. She gave her a bunch of words to say and some sort of a ritual. And that was it. Never felt it again. It was actually the whole vibe of the house changed after that. It was really cool. And I felt happy for whoever that was anyway, right? Stuck being here and having no one to help you over. So it was kind of a nice thing, actually. I kind of liked it. And that was that. And then from that place, we moved into the place we're in now. The place we're in now, in my house per se, I don't overly feel too much these days. Little things, it's like there's something following me around all the time. Like, this has been constant since I was a little kid. I always feel like I have a passenger with me every time I go anywhere. If I'm with people, it's different. I don't feel it. If I'm by myself, yeah, there's something beside me. Sometimes I feel like there's more than one person. I don't know if I'm just more perceptive to certain things. Like, I'm sure there's ghosts everywhere. We just can't see them. But yeah, there's something definitely with me all the time for sure. Last week, actually, 2 weeks ago, sorry, this one, I was in a basement. I'm a tile contractor. So I was tiling a shower in this basement bathroom, and I had my back to the door, and I seen something walk by, like visibly, like a dark shadow walk by. I'm like, all right, it's probably like the homeowner, or it's her dog. She has like a huge bull mastiff. And he's quite tall, and I was on my knees, so I couldn't really gauge the height. But 100% seen something. I'm like, all right, well, clearly there's somebody down here, and I have my headphones on, so I couldn't even hear. I just thought he didn't hear them, so I took my headphones off, left there, and there's no one there. And I was like, oh, sweet, awesome. And I went upstairs, and she has like the bull mastiff dog. I was in the house for about 3 weeks, and I was doing the floors upstairs. And this dog is really cool, actually. Like, he would stay beside me the entire time. If I would lean down to put one plank in and I would stand back up, he'd stand back up and he'd move beside me, step back down. Like, he'd get up 100 times a day and just follow me around the entire house. And there was one room in that house that like made my skin crawl. I didn't want to go. I honestly didn't even want to install the floors in it. The dog wouldn't come in. I tried to bribe him a piece of pizza to come in. He wouldn't come in. It was weird. And yeah, there's something really creepy about that room. And whatever was in that room, I seen walk by in the basement downstairs. And it really freaked me out, man. Like, visibly seen something walk by the door. I was really hoping that somebody was going to be down there, but fortunately there was no one down there. And lately, my car lights have been staying on. I have a sliding tile saw with a laser level on it. And in the nighttime, it's quite bright. It'll illuminate most of my car. I went in to get something at a store there a couple of weeks ago, and I locked my car. My car lights, the left light has always been staying on now. Even if I turn it off, I'll come back and that light's on, and my laser level is on. So like the whole car, I came back and my car was like red inside, and I was like, what the hell? I'm like, this is weird. Like, somebody inside my car, and the car door is locked. I opened it up, and all my arrow lights were inside the car. Laser light was on somehow. That's not even possible. It could have got touched because you had to push it in really hard. It's just really creepy, man. Really freaking creeped me out. And I don't even like talking about it because like I have to drive this car every day. But when I was driving down the highway the other day, I seen, I don't know if it was like eyes, it was like a face, a little head where my car seat is in the back seat. And that's why I keep my mirror up now. I can't do it. It just freaks me out too much. Like, there's definitely something that's always been around me. I don't know if it's good or if it's bad, or I don't know if it's good and it's keeping bad things away, you know, because clearly something's been keeping me alive all these years. Like, there's no doubt about it. I don't know what it is, man. But I don't really have any intuitional answers on that. So kind of just going day by day with it. Hopefully asking them. I do lots of praying now. I pray every single time I'm in my apartment because I do get creeped out when I'm by myself. Like there is something always around me. So I always pray for any negative entities to be removed. And yeah, man. When I talked to that medium I spoke of earlier, she did a reading for me and I honestly wasn't 100% didn't believe in the whole medium thing until I talked to her. She didn't know me and never talked to her in my life. She lives in the States. I live in Canada. Never even met her in person. The thing is she knew, like she asked permission to like come into my, like, I don't know, like my energy. Right. And the thing she knew, there's no way she could have known. It was like, she nailed my childhood dead on, like count for count. It was really bizarre. And, yeah, she said when I was 4 that, I went through, she's like, did you go through something really negative when you were 4? Like really, really deeply negative. I'm like, yeah, I did actually. I'm like, I don't remember it though. Like I remember when I was 4, I told my mom that I was going to kill myself and I had to go into therapy when I was a little kid. And, she said when I was 4 years old that she's like, she started talking about, guardian angels. She's like, we all have guardian angels. I didn't know much about it at the time. And she's like, you have 5 of them. And she's like, you do have a 6th one. She's like, when you were a little kid, you needed, it's what, she's like, it's very uncommon. She's like, it's a negative spirit angel, spirit guide or whatever, guardian angel. And she's like, they're there. They come when you're in a very negative place. And she's like, you don't need it anymore, but he's still there with you. And she's like, I can do things on my end to like give you to try and like relieve him of his duties. But as far as I know, that hasn't happened. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It was the first time I'd ever heard of anything like that. But
so she
pretty much takes us up.
She said that there was something that was in charge of following you.
Yeah, she said that when I was 4, something really negative happened to me, and I was given a 6th guardian angel, but it wasn't like the other ones. It was a negative guardian angel. So she never elaborated too much on it. She said that it was needed at the time to keep me safe. And I don't know if that was the thing keeping me alive all those times in that room, but that kind of goes against laws of science, man. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I had a buddy, unfortunately, who passed away. He did it once, man. He put bells around his neck one time on the door handle, and he died. That's it. I'd done it probably like 100 times, and it just makes sense. I'm exaggerating. Like, unfortunately, yeah. I wish I was.
Well, I mean, but, it doesn't make sense to me that it's something that was given to you to follow you around, and it's a negative, but then it's supposed to do the positive, which is to protect you.
I know.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, man, I'm in the same boat. I know. I tried Googling it the past couple of weeks because, like, it really, out of all the things she told me, that, I don't know, like, I might have the wording wrong, but she said it was specifically for negativity because I was in such a negative space and I was so young that this spirit guide came to me. And I don't know. I don't think it's like an actually negative spirit guide or angel. I believe from what I was kind of understanding from what she said that it comes in times of like bad times, maybe. I don't know, man. But she said it was still with me and that it was not serving me any justice to have it here anymore.
Yeah. I mean, did it ever?
And it's hard to, yeah. Right, man. I don't, it's weird, man. I don't get it. It's totally. And it's hard not to believe her because, like, she was super accurate about my entire life, man. Like, she knew shit that, like, my parents didn't even know. Like, it's crazy. It's very, very interesting.
I mean, she could be accurate on certain things, but it doesn't mean she's accurate on everything, you know? The fact that she's, I mean, even if I was a medium, which I'm not, but if I was, like, I would be thinking, what I'm about to say makes zero sense. You know, maybe I should read, you know, I don't know, reread things and make sure I'm seeing it clearly. You know,
Yeah, right. I honestly didn't think anything of it until the past few months. So I'm Googling. It really bugged me. And yeah, it just bothered me a lot when she said that. And she didn't really elaborate much on it. All she did was give me the stuff to say to like relieve whoever that is of their duties. And like, I just didn't. I was like, what? Like, I'm so lost, man. Like, they don't, her, my fiance and her don't talk anymore, so I can't go and just ask her. So, yeah, man, I don't know. Kind of lost on that one myself. I don't understand it.
You can probably, you know, I would say this. First of all, I personally don't. You wouldn't catch me going to a medium, and that's more.
I haven't since, to be honest with you. I kind of rely on my own stuff now.
Sure, and I'm not condemning you. What I'm saying is, like, for me, it's literally it's because of my faith and my beliefs. Like I've said it before on the show, like God directs us in the Bible throughout the entire book, Old and New Testament, not to practice necromancy and summoning of spirits and things like that. And so, like, that's specifically why I put a hard line there, because of the Bible saying that you shouldn't do those things. Now, I'm not knocking people who do it. I'm not knocking people who go and do it. You know, I'm not in charge of your life. I'm just saying this is what I believe. And so when it comes to all that stuff, I definitely don't understand how it all works together. You know what I'm saying? But
I know, man. It's weird.
I don't think that you need to take everything she says as, you know, scripture or whatever. It might be a bad example of words.
Sure.
But, you know, because it's definitely seems like, you know, some of the things she said was correct. I mean, it seems like your entire life, there's been something following you. I wouldn't say that when you moved houses that it was a new entity. I mean, this is something that almost maybe like when you move to the new house, it's a fresh vibe and it decides to show itself against you. Like, hey, bro, still here. I got you.
You know what I mean? Man, like, that's what I took from it, for sure. Yeah, for sure. 100%, man. Like, especially when from my old house when I was a kid to that other one where I said, with the black mass, it felt 100% the same as my first house. Like, it didn't feel like a new thing. I'm like, oh shit, this is back. Like, awesome. I don't know. It's just something she said. It really bugged me. And I'm kind of thinking about it lately. So I just trying to rule everything out, you know, I'm just trying to understand all this stuff. And it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't have the answers. But I have stopped looking to people like that. I was a bit younger when she did that. It's probably about 5 or 6 years ago. I've definitely got a lot more spiritual since then and rely on my own sense to try and understand these things. But I'm still stumped on this. I am. And it hasn't changed, man. It's every day. I'm like 32 years old now. And there's something with me all the time. And it freaks me out. And it could be a good thing, right? But like, I just don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it could be, you know, maybe a good thing that you feel the presence of something, and maybe that presence of something is, you know, just say a guardian angel, for lack of better terms. But
yeah,
I mean, clearly the whole timeline, that feeling that you had wasn't always a good thing that was around because of what you've experienced.
It was very negative. Yeah. And I honestly, to be super truthful with you, I say it's good, but I kind of just tell myself that because like, it just freaks me out, man.
Sure.
It does.
Absolutely.
And realistically, I don't think it's whatever. Oh man. Okay. I'll go into a little more detail. I kind of left this part out. I always feel, I'm going to get really honest with you, I don't think it's good. I try and tell myself that to like kind of calm myself down and live my life normally, but to be honest, I do think it's not good. I always feel like I'm going to be assaulted. Like I feel like I'm going to get pushed. Like that feeling like something's about to come at me. I live that every single day. It sucks. It's very stressful. It freaks me out. I don't know what to say about it. That's about it. Like whatever's there, I don't think it's very good. And I used to get really freaked out about talking about it. And I just listened to one of your guys talk the other day, and where he's like, he was saying that he was talking about this entity and his friend girl was like, oh no, he can hear you. Stop talking about him. That's how I used to feel. I'm like, man, if I say anything like this, whatever this is can like knows what I'm thinking and does not want me talking about it. And I will be like punished in some sort of way if I do talk about it. So that's why I'm just like, oh, huh.
Do you think that something like that is going to happen today because you're talking to me? Do you think that it's going
to, I don't know, man. Do like, I don't, to be honest, I don't feel very good right now talking about it, but it is what it is, man. Like you just got to push forward. I don't want to be like this forever, you know? And like, so like the only way to, I find to kind of like break through things is to talk about it. And honestly, if there's somebody else dealing with what I'm dealing with, I think it's, that's how I found like kind of like salvation dealing with the stuff with is like on your show, listening to other people talk about this. I'm like, oh man, like I actually kind of feel better about this. So if there's any other person that feels like I do or goes through what I go through, you know, may hopefully they feel a little bit better now, you know, and like they can go talk to somebody about it. I don't know. But I think it's important for us to share our stories.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people sharing the stories on the show is what prompted this interview to even happen, you know? So
exactly, right? Yeah.
People need to share their experiences so that other people feel comfortable coming forward and telling what they've experienced, adding to the story, because everybody's got their own story that adds to the overall story of what's going on around here. Dude, what have you done to try to get... in all honesty, I mean, you keep saying to me sometimes throughout the interview that, you know, in all honesty, that term comes up. And so in all honesty, what have you done to try getting rid of this thing in your life? I know you tried I know you tried smudging the house. I know that you said that you you pray now a lot. What are you praying? Like are you saying you're a Christian? Are you a Hindu, Buddhist? What are you talking about when you say you're praying?
Honestly, like I just prayed. I asked God, like not a specific God. I pray to God and I was like, God, can please protect me from any negative entities in my home or around me or my son and my fiance, please. And that's it. And I repeat that constantly. And honestly, when I'm really, really freaked out and I know there's something like right beside me, I do say, I take the Lord's name, man. I'm like, and I'm not even like a Christian or anything like that. I'm like, I say like, Jesus Christ, please come into my home and like protect me, man. Like I need help. Like that's how like freaked out I get sometimes. Like I'm not even a religious person like that. And I will throughout the stories on your show, I hear people say this stuff and it actually works. You know, like they're like, yeah, I asked like Lord Jesus Christ come in and then it's gone. And I'm like, wow, you know, like that's, I gotta start doing that. And to be honest, I think it's a really, really whatever it is really deep, man. It's like entrenched in me. I don't think a smudge stick is going to make the thing go away, to be honest with you.
No.
I smudge my house. I smudge my house all the time. Like, I honestly like the smell of it. It doesn't do anything. It's a lot deeper than that. Yeah. And to be honest with you, man, I'm a little bit scared to try and do some sort of, I don't even know what to do. Like some sort of like ritual or something like that. I'm actually like a scared to death. Am I going to see this thing? Like it's going to like reveal itself or something. I don't know. But, it's with me, man, wherever I go, that's for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And I was going to ask you, has your girlfriend or your fiance or your child ever have any experiences? Have they ever come to you and said this is happening?
Yeah. Dude, it just happened yesterday. I had to go do a quote at this lady's house. Older lady's house, older home. My son, I have my 3-year-old with me. And I was running short on time, so I brought him, he's my little apprentice now. I brought him in to check out this floor. And like, she was a cool lady, she's a babysitter. He walked to the back of the house and looked at the bottom of the stairs and he goes, woo! And that means he sees a ghost. And there was nothing there. Like, I personally couldn't see anything. And she got a little bit upset, actually. She's like, there's no ghosts in my house. I'm like, sorry, man. Like, he's 3. He can see stuff you can. Like, I didn't say any of that. I was just like, all right, no problem. I'm like, all right, have a good day. Here's your quote. See you later. She's like, oh, thank you. No, like, he's seen something down there. He sees ghosts all the time. He'll come to me, he'll be like, daddy. Or he calls me mommy a lot. And he's like, mommy. And he'll be like, ooh. And he'll pull a point over there. And I'm like, is there a ghost over there, buddy? And he's like, yep. I'm like, is it a bad ghost? And he's like, he doesn't really know if it's bad or good. He just tells me that there's ghosts over there. And he sees them frequently in the house. And it kind of freaked me out a little bit. And I just ramp up my prayers, you know. But, yeah, man. He's definitely perceptive seeing stuff. And I think growing up, a lot of my buddies had nephews or like little sisters, little brothers. I didn't. And I remember a lot of them would see dead people on top. Like they would come upstairs and be like, oh yeah, we were just playing with this man in the basement. Like both of them, like 100% playing with this older man. I remember it one time. And I was just like, what? Like, that went down. Our course is no man down. Like, I think kids are just more perceptive to this kind of stuff. And it's a story I hear throughout time that, like, little kids can see stuff that we can't.
Yeah, I mean, if you just take it on the most basic level of things, little kids have less responsibility. They have less things going on in life. So they're more open to seeing what's right there.
Exactly.
I mean, as you get older, you know, life picks up. It, first of all, it starts with hobbies and then interests like girls, sports, things like that. And then all of a sudden you graduate high school and now you're working and you're trying to make enough money to pay to pay for a halfway decent car. And then all of a sudden you get a good job and now you're concerned about making decent money to maybe buy a house. And all of a sudden you have a family and now you're buying a house. Now you've got the mortgage to pay for, all the electricity bills, all the other stuff that comes along with it. And then all of a sudden you're so distracted with life that seeing the things that are in the supernatural aspects of life are no longer, not even just of interest, but you lose sensitivity. But when kids are young, they're filled with wonder and excitement, and they're trying to understand life, and they got so many questions, and I think they see things because they haven't been tainted yet by life.
Right. That's exactly the way I think about it. So yeah, he definitely sees stuff. And it's like, I just, yesterday, you know, it was, I wasn't even expecting that. I'm like, really? I'm like, I asked him like three times. I'm like, you seen a ghost down there, buddy? He's like, yep. He's very serious about it. I was like, okay, man. I'm like, I believe you 100%. And I always like to confirm what he sees. And so he's comfortable with coming to me and showing me stuff. Cause I certainly believe him.
Well, dude, I'm telling you, it definitely sounds like you got some crap hanging around your life, and it's definitely been affecting you. And I would encourage you to keep a close eye on your son and make sure that, because I mean, you've been through it, dude. You've been through it. You know,
honestly, I go into his room sometimes at night, and I'll say like a prayer, or I'll go like sit beside his bed if I get like a weird feeling, you know, just to make sure there's nothing in there. But definitely, my eyes are kept pretty close on him when it comes to stuff like that, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know the signs, you know what to look for. And honestly, I mean, what you just said about going in his room and making sure things are good by just, you know, saying a prayer and sitting by his bed, dude, you can do that every night, whether you have a feeling or not. You can say, you know, this is my son. I'm placing a stamp of possession over my son. This is a no-go zone. You know what I mean? Like, you can do that every night. And
that's a good idea.
That's something that when I was a kid, an older man that was at my church had told my dad during some kind of meeting. He said that, you know, every night he would just walk by his kids' rooms and just pray over their rooms. And I was, and that just stuck with me my entire life. And that's something that, you know, I do, you know. And so it's it's just placing that authoritative stamp. This is my child. And, this is a no-go zone. So, dude, I appreciate you coming on and sharing these experiences. I really do.
Yeah, man. My pleasure.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, there is actually a follow-up interview with Jeremy waiting for you to consume. Just look in your podcast stream because it's sitting there waiting for you to enjoy. So go check that out, because last time we talked to him, he talked about his paranormal experiences. But since then, he had more paranormal experiences, a UFO encounter, and he informs us that he lives near an old shut-down military base, but he has different thoughts on the matter as to whether it's actually shut down. So all that is on the next episode. Go check it out, and you know what we're going to say next. The truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. Later.
How far down the rabbit hole goes?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly, perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right dried off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.